All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We have just a few announcements before the service this morning. We are still working on that $10,000 matching grant. So if you were going to contribute in an effort to get a match, please do it this week if you haven't done that already. On the 21st, we are having the LCUUC holiday event. We are doing gingerbread house construction and a free chili or mac and cheese supper. And I hear Jerry is going to be helping us by having a bonfire. Get rid of all our emerald ash borer infested wood all in one go. But I need RSVPs by Monday on the gingerbread house building thing because we don't want to do all the chili and the mac and cheese and set up if we're not going to have enough people. So please RSVP to me by Monday and we will get that going. Christmas Eve service is at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve and we will have cider and a small selection of goodies afterwards. That is an intergenerational service, so please bring the kids, bring your friends, come on down. Our designated collection today is for the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, so any loose coins or bills, and any checks with UUSC on the memo line will be sent to them. We are a UUA-affirmed welcoming congregation, and so we are open and welcoming to all people, regardless of who you love or what pronouns you use. So come and explore what our community can mean to you. I'd ask that you take a moment at this point to silence all your electronics. I would also ask if there's anything cute that you see today, please feel free to film or take pictures and send them to either me or Leanne in the office. We would love to have them. Zeke, could I have you up here? Thank you. We light our chalice today with the words of Helen Keller, someone who felt the light but never saw it. Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into light. May what we learn here help us to live in faith. Good morning and welcome to LCUUC this morning. My name is Reverend Amy Shaw, and I am your worship associate, your worship leader, and a few spare bits today. Today's service is one which honors the midwinter traditions around the globe. All those traditions which celebrate hope and warmth and the coming return of the light. The children are going to be helping with the service today, and it is a no-rehearsal service, so it has the potential to be quite exciting. Part of the goal in doing that is that we are celebrating these holidays today exactly the way they should be celebrated. These are family holidays. These are holidays where the kids yell and run, food gets on the carpet, you pass out little bits of stuff over and over and ask everybody to try it. They're warm, they're deconstructed, they're casual, and they're made for everybody. No special preparation, nobody left outside because they didn't get the memo on how to dress or what to read. So we welcome everybody here today. Especially those of you who are searching for a spiritual home. We've all been searching at some point, and whether you're here for today or here for a lifetime, we're glad you're here. We don't do things perfectly here. We just try to do them well, and we look for connection with one another. We find those connections here along with humor, sometimes even a little wisdom. Come and let us worship together here today. And please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. Jerry, I'm ready for my first picture. One more. We begin our journey this morning in the ancient kingdom of Persia. It is the Zoroastrian solstice, a holiday called Yalda, the longest, darkest night of the year. And we hear the music start, calling us to worship. Please remain seated, because you're going to join us in singing number 188 in the gray hymnal, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. You guys can hold them for a minute. Hang on to them for a minute. to see you all. It brought the sun, and we're going to put them right here in this vase, if you all would help, and put those right in there. One of the great things about Yalda, or Zoroastrian solstice, is that everybody in the house is made to feel welcome by being greeted immediately with food. Red summer foods are most popular. They give you watermelon and pomegranate and wonderful combinations of dried fruits and nuts. So I am going to ask if you two and Kaya and if you would go to the back and get our trays. Go back to Chris over there. Miss Chris has got everything. If you guys will just hang on just a minute. The children are going to help passing out some treats right now so that everybody can have a little taste. And if you guys want to help them, just pass the cups out. Go pair up with one of them. As the official faith of Persia, Zoroastrianism considered life and the universe to be a cosmic duality. It was an eternal fight between good and evil. Today in Iran, Zoroastrianism has dwindled to perhaps 100,000 people. But its traditions have survived everything, even the arrival of Islam. So on Yalda evenings, when you get to a house, the children bring you your plate of food and your cup of snacks. And then the families gather, usually with an elder, to celebrate the start of longer days and to prepare for a cold winter. This is a messy, fun celebration with watermelon and pomegranate everywhere. Today, if you go to a celebration, you will find that they keep the watermelons in special freezers just for this time of year. And they will bring out fresh watermelon in the desert for this time of year. Daytime for Zoroastrians was considered a good time. It was a safe time. It was a time for work. But during the evening, people lit fires to keep evil spirits away. And you can see up here, that is a large fire right in the center of a celebration last year. That would be the typical foods all served. The dawn represents victory of good over bad and an opportunity to go back to work, which is considered sacred. It explains a lot about why I'm not a Zoroastrian. There was joy in the moment the light returned, both real and metaphorical light. So on Yalda, people eat. They believe that red foods and summer foods can keep you healthy in the wintertime. The red seeds of a pomegranate symbolize liveliness and joy. And they made the richest stew they could come up with. Doesn't matter what the ingredients are, it should be the meatiest, tastiest, best stew you have ever made. And they pass bowls of that out to remind people that richness will come again. And after everybody had eaten, they would read stories. They would sit the kids down in their pajamas and tell stories from the Book of Kings. And this is the story of the birth and marriage of the hero Zal. And I love Zal. Poor Zal. So there was a king named Sam who had been fretting that he had no son and heir, and he was delighted when his wife had a baby boy. But then he saw the baby, and all of his joy turned in a minute to anger when he saw his son, who he had named Zal without seeing him, because, and I quote, Zal had the hair of an old man. He took one look at that baby's head with its albino white hair and said, "Oh no, oh no." He was quite sure that his son was either an old man or a demon, and he wasn't sure which, but he didn't want any part of either one. So he ordered the baby to be taken to the foothills of the bejeweled mountains and abandoned. And they did take Zal to the mountains and they abandoned him, but he was found by a magical phoenix with red and gold feathers, and she took the baby to her nest and she brought him up as one of her own. Some years later, King Sam was reminded by a haunting dream of how badly he had behaved. He felt great remorse, and so 18 years after he left a baby on a mountain, he decided he would go back to see if the baby had lived. I've always wondered about that part of the story. The bird knew that it was time for Zal to return to the humans. And so when Sam came and stood at the mountain and called, "Zal, Zal," his son said, "Here I am." I imagine that was quite a shocking moment in his life. He had been well brought up by the bird and he didn't want to leave, but the phoenix urged him. And giving Zal one of her feathers, she told him if he was ever in trouble, he must only burn the feather and she would come to his aid. Zal traveled widely and he met the king of Kabul, who paid tribute to his father, Sam. And Zal heard fascinating tales about the beauty of Mirab's daughter. According to these tales, she had eyelashes like a raven's wing and a face as fair as the moon. And he fell in love without ever seeing her. She had heard tales of him too and was intrigued by stories of him being raised in a bird's nest. They were able to meet and it was love at first sight. The white-haired man and the raven-eyed girl fell in love immediately. He was a little nervous though because she was descended from evil King Zahak. And this again is a direct quote, on whose shoulders grew serpents that had to be fed with human heads. This was a little bit of a scary marriage. And the children would be told this story and would be laughing hysterically because they act it out and they show you the parts and the snakes. And despite all the teasing, they vowed to marry. Their families agreed, and the ensuing wedding was joyous and lasted for 30 days. If you ever get a chance, read the Persian Book of Kings. All of the stories are very much like this, and they are fun. They are act-outable with small children. This is a very modern English translation I am reading from. But there are multiple translations. They are wonderful. If you have little people or grandchildren, I cannot recommend them enough. I'm going to ask Amy C. to come up and read a poem. Amy, your mic's up there.
In between the stories, as everyone eats and drinks, sometimes people will also read poetry, especially Persian poetry written by Hafiz. People would also use the Hafiz poetry to answer questions or tell fortunes. You think your question, and then you pull out a poem and glance at it. The first line you see answers the question, and the next lines you notice amplify the answer. This reading is a Hafiz poem. And as I read it, maybe think of your own question and see if anything sounds like an answer to you. The poem is called, "I Have Learned So Much." I have learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew. The truth has shared so much of itself with me that I can no longer call myself a man, a woman, an angel, or even a pure soul. Love has befriended Hafiz so completely it has turned ash and freed me of every concept and image my mind has ever known.
Thank you.
We're going to leave ancient Persia now with that thought and follow the light further around the world to Israel. But before we get that far, I want to talk about the light we provide here in Wisconsin. LCUUC exists as a beacon of love and hope. And in order to keep that light burning, we give so much of our time and talent. We give of our treasure. It doesn't matter if you give a little or a lot, though a lot is nice. What matters is that you participate in a weekly giving ritual which reminds us that generosity is a spiritual value. As I said earlier, today's designated collection is for the UUSC, Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. So any loose coins or bills and any checks with UUSC and the memo line will be sent to them. And the morning offering will now be given and gratefully received. Thank you for all that you do and for these gifts given and received by our community. Jerry, we're ready for the next one. And as we head to Israel, please rise in body or spirit as you are willing and able and join in singing number 362 in the Gray Hymnal, Rise Up, O Flame. I could ask all of you to put your flames up here on the table. We'll put those and just hang with me for a second. Hanukkah is a Hebrew festival of light celebrated in Israel and across the globe. It's proud, it's happy, it's joyous, and it's a party. And one of the things you do at a party is dance. So today we're going to teach the children a Hebrew dance that some of you may already know called the Hora. And any of the adults who want to join the kids up front here, come on up. We're going to learn to do the Hora. And I think a few of the choir members are going to help with this. And I am getting out of the way. Anybody that wants to join, come on down. Really, really, come on down. That's what this is for. It's a fun one. Along with dancing at Hanukkah, there comes a lot of music, some of it old and some of it very new. And our choir and the Lake House Band are going to share with us now a modern version of a very old song, Hanukkah, O Hanukkah.
Salvation, 8 holy nights, 44 lights make the whole world bright. We like to come and rank them bygone days, and we spend it to remember that an ace took place. 9 little candles can burn for 8 days, and there ain't a situation from which God can't save. Life from the light and the soup, kind of yeah, and those days and these times celebrating Hanukkah.
Holy days, holy nights, holy lights. Holy days, holy nights, holy lights. day, each night a new light. Commemorate it, inaugurate it. Holy lights. Holy days, holy nights, 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 holy lights.
Unlike most Jewish holidays, Hanukkah is about two things. It's about a real military battle and a reported miracle. And the ushers are going to help me a little now and pass out something important to Hanukkah, or at least to Hanukkah games. Chocolate. Chocolate in the form of gold chocolate coins called gelt is currency used in the dreidel game. It's a spinning top game played by children and by adults who like to bet. You bet gelt on the outcome of the spins of a four-sided top. Food served in Hanukkah tends to have one thing in common around the world. It's oily or rich. And the reason for this comes from the Hanukkah story itself. A long time ago, Israel was ruled by a wicked king named Antiochus. And Antiochus counted Jews among his subjects. And those Jews worshipped in an ancient temple in Jerusalem. But Antiochus didn't like this. He wanted all his people to be one culture, his Greek culture. And so he told the Jews they could not practice their religion anymore. He forbade them to work from worshiping in the temple. He turned the temple into a Greek temple. Many Jews were afraid for their lives, and so they obeyed. But one group of brave, brave people decided they would not submit. They would not worship Greek gods or give up their ethnicity. The group was called the Maccabees, and they were determined to take back their temple. They fought against the king's army, even though they were one-fifth their size, and they won. The group was the Maccabees, led by Mattathias, and later by his son Judah. They took back the temple, and when they got there, they realized it had been desecrated. They had removed all the statues, removed the scrolls. There were statues of Greek gods. There were foods. There were parties. Leftovers. But they removed all of the mess and they cleaned out the temple and they had a rededication. And the word Hanukkah means dedication. It comes from that moment when the temple was returned to the people. But the most famous story about that dedication comes from the Talmud. When the Maccabees walked into that destroyed temple, they found enough oil to light the menorah for one day. So their lamps would have looked closer to our chalice than what we think of today as a menorah. And their oil reservoirs would have been about that big. There was enough for one day. They lit it anyway. It lasted for 8 days, which was exactly how long, miraculously, it took to get new oil delivered. So today, that celebration of Hanukkah lasts for 8 days in honor of the miracle that occurred so many years ago. We light 8 candles on the Hanukkah, the menorah. 1 candle the first night, 2 the second, 3 the third. And we eat latkes, or potato pancakes, other foods fried in oil. The letters on the dreidel spell out a great miracle happened there. And we use our chocolate to bet. And with every Hanukkah candle we light, we illuminate the most important message of all, that we must always work to find light in the darkness. We must always work to keep the light of religious freedom burning for all people for all time. Because you see, the Jews weren't given this holiday as a gift. They fought for it. They stood up for it. They refused to back down. And that's when the light came. So this one is a little different. I think we'd all like another reprise of the Sounds of the Horror. What do you think? Today we are going to light 1 candle for all the good and bad in our lives, and for all the good and bad in the world this week. We're going to commit to doing our best, never to let that light of hope and love fail. We're going to commit to keeping the light of religious freedom burning here and everywhere for all people. We light 1 candle together. And we give thanks that the light hasn't died. please join me now in a few moments of musical meditation. Before we do anything else, may I add today is Jerry Flakus' birthday. Can we sing happy birthday to Jerry?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jerry. Happy birthday.
I think I'm ready for my next slide, Jerry. Thank you, and we're good. Back one. And if I could get you all to put your stars over in that vase over there. And just have a seat up here up front. Can you reach? If you can't reach, just lay them on there. And then just grab a seat on the carpet. Thank you. We've moved further around the globe now, following the light first to Rome, and then out to Sweden and Norway and Denmark. Sweden's official website says this about Santa Lucia. The tradition can be traced back to Santa Lucia of Syracuse in 304. It is said that she was possibly Adam's first wife. The name is associated with both Lux, light, and a little more darkly with Lucifer. The Swedes say the origin is really hard to determine, but they enjoy the holiday. The present custom is a blend of traditions from folklore and legend. In the old almanac, Lucia night was the longest of the year. It was a night when supernatural beings were abroad and all the animals could talk. By morning, the livestock needed extra feed from all the exercise they'd gotten partying. People, too, needed extra nourishment and were urged to eat 7 or 9 hearty breakfasts. That's a direct quote. The last person to rise in the morning was named Lus the Louse and was given a playful swatting around the legs with birch twigs. So don't get out of bed late on this day. In rural Sweden, young people used to dress up as Lucia figures at night and go from house to house singing songs and scrounging for food and schnapps. In about 1764, the modern Santa Lucia in the white robe and red sash became in existence. Got popular in the 1900s. Alongside Midsummer, the Lucia celebrations represent one of the foremost cultural traditions in Sweden, with their clear reference to life. Light in the darkness, warmth in the middle of cold. Lucia is a mythical figure with an abiding role as a bearer of light in a dark Swedish winter. And the songs all have the same theme: the light will come back. Hope will come. Now, the Lucia celebrations include ginger schnapps and sweet saffron-flavored buns shaped like cats with raisin eyes, and you eat them with mulled wine or with coffee. This holiday focuses on feeling warm and welcome and cozy. It lets you know that darkness is not forever.
Crowned our men,
Now, unlike Christmas, where Santa Claus or parents or families bring the gifts to the kids, Santa Lucia kind of works the other way around. The oldest children, or all the children in the family, get up in the morning and they bring their parents cookies and coffee. And so today our children are going to help us celebrate by bringing you, their church family, some ginger cookies. So if I could ask all of you to go right there where our folks are with the cookies and help pass those out for us. We're going to leave Sweden now and follow the light at last from Scandinavia through Germanic Europe and even to the United States, where the holiday of Yule was and is celebrated by pagans who deck the halls with greenery on this, the longest night of the year. And they rejoice that the sun will return and there is life even in the middle of the coldest winter. Most of our traditions that we think of as Christian Christmas traditions these days come from these Yule celebrations. Everything from our decorated trees, to our wreaths, to the sparkling lights. I'd like to ask that you remain seated now and join in singing number 235 in the gray hymnal, Deck the Halls.
Glasses, la 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 la
can sit down. If you guys want to sit down right up here, yes, you can eat them. We have edible Yule logs today. Up until the 16th century, the winter months were very tough in Europe. Most of the cattle were slaughtered, so they wouldn't have to be fed during the winter, making solstice time, this time of year, a time when fresh meat was plentiful. Most celebrations of the winter solstice in Europe involved a lot of fun, a lot of eating, and a lot of fire. In pre-Christian Scandinavia, the Feast of Yule lasted 12 days, and it celebrated the rebirth of the sun, and it gave rise to the custom of burning the Yule log. What you see there on the screen is a real Yule log. What you have in the kids' hands are our modern depiction of a Yule log. Our ushers are about to be passing out a few bites of Yule log treats so that you can join us in the feasting at this sacred time. Like Santa Lucia and Hanukkah and Yalda, Yule reminds us that the light will not be gone forever. It reminds us to celebrate even in the darkness. Yule was a festival that celebrated the green man and his lady consort, the goddess. It was about balance. Neither can exist without the other, and on the solstices they meet. When you celebrate Yule, do it with a reverence for the passing of the seasons. Do it with a reverence for nature. And have fun, because it's about us fitting into the world. And it reminds us to celebrate, even in the darkness. Followed the light around the world all the way back here to Wisconsin, where we light a chalice here today during the darkest time of the year. Like our ancestors around the globe, we celebrate the light returning. But we do one thing they maybe did not. We commit each week to working to bring light to the world, to healing the world in ways big and small. We commit to agency. We commit to using the power we have to making the light come back if all other light fails. The chalices of our hearts hold the sun, even in the dead of winter, and we bring the light with us wherever we go. Every holiday that we've talked about today shares one thing, a brave optimism, a willingness to hold on even in the darkest times, knowing that there will be warmth and light again. Celebrate one or celebrate all, and know that you hold the light inside your heart, and that you are part of helping the sun to return. Please rise in body or spirit as you are willing and able, and join in singing, "Here Comes the Sun." The words are in your order of service. are the light of the world, so go in peace and bring warmth and light wherever you go. Peace, ashe, and may it be so.